Coming up, we'll be heading out and about to find some wonderful ocean wildlife in a marine reserve off the coast of Wales. But first, we've seen a lot of talk this month about global biodiversity and how good or bad a job we're doing in protecting it, with nations gathering in Nagoya in Japan at the latest meeting of the Convention on Biological Diversity. Well, the CBD began at the Rio Earth Summit back in 92, and in 2002, we set an ambitious target of significantly reducing the loss of biodiversity around the world by 2010. Yep, that's this year. Well, an important part of those targets was to conserve large parts of the ocean inside marine protected areas. A new report was released at Nagoya, which has brought together the latest stats on how we're getting on towards reaching those global goals for protecting the seas. We chatted to one of the report authors, Mark Spalding, from the Nature Conservancy, to find out more about what we've achieved so far.
This latest study has come up with a new global total for marine protected areas, just over 5,800 marine protected areas worldwide. They cover about 4.2 million square kilometres of the world's oceans. Those sorts of figures are pretty hard to visualise. It is a very large area, but actually the world's oceans are so vast that it really is still more like a drop in the ocean. It's about 1.2% of the total ocean surface.
1.2%, that doesn't sound a lot. But then 8 years ago, there were plans to protect quite a bit more than that by now.
Targets were set by the international community, and really these are set by governments, and they're meant to be kind of incentives and drivers for change. And it was recognised we needed to do a lot more, particularly in the oceans. It was also recognised we had a long way to go in the oceans, but the target was set to try and establish 10% of the oceans as being effectively managed for conservation. So we've only got to 1.2%, so we're way off target. It's a little bit even more complex than that, because they talked about representative protection. So in other words, they didn't just want a sort of overall 10% figure which you could put all in one place. They wanted us to capture all the different aspects of marine biodiversity, from the tropics to the Arctic and the Antarctic.
And so where have our marine protection efforts been focused so far?
Perhaps not surprising, the bulk of the effort has been very close to shore. If you confine yourself to looking just at the coastal strip, a sort of narrow 2 kilometre belt around the world's coastlines, we've actually met the target and exceeded it. We're up to 12% globally. But as you look offshore, you look across the continental shelf, the number drops off rapidly. Only 4.3% of the shallow waters out to 200 metres depth. And of course, as you look into the offshore waters, off shelf and into the high seas, the areas that are owned by no particular country, as it were, the figure drops to pretty close to zero. Really, we've got this very land-centric view of the oceans still in the way we've been declaring marine protected areas. And the high seas jump out at us as being a real hole in this effort to secure a future for the oceans.
Another thing that jumps out of the data is that it looks like we now have got a handful of really enormous MPAs. Now, surely that has to be a good thing, doesn't it?
It's a great thing, and we mustn't do that down. I mean, we list in this report the 24 sites that are the size of Belgium or larger. They're pretty whopping sites. Things like the Great Barrier Reef, and they have been probably the major contributor to the acceleration of ocean protection. But what we're missing in that kind of view is the small sites near to people. Marine protected areas aren't just for nature, but people stand to benefit hugely from marine protected areas. One of the stories that's stood out over the years is a little island in the Philippines called Apo Island, where the local community have set aside a chunk of their coral reef with no fishing whatsoever. And what they found is that their overall fish catch has gone up and up. And that's simply the result of protecting this little investment of fish, larger fish which breed well and export both adults and larvae to the surrounding reefs. So let's try and get these MPAs not only in the wilderness, in the last great ocean spaces, but as we move them closer to home, to closer to where people live and depend on the sea, we're going to start, I think, getting much more buy-in, much more enthusiasm for marine protected areas. And I hope the thing will snowball. People will learn from what's going on next door and want more of the action themselves.
And talking of enthusiasm to set up protected areas, it seems the developed world is actually lagging behind the developing world, which is really not what you would expect given the amount of resources that presumably richer countries have to devote to things like marine conservation.
Both from a resources perspective and also from a kind of a lot of the science has been done by the wealthiest nations who have the funds for doing the research. But the people who are putting it into practice have been mostly based in the tropics. it seems to be a huge struggle to get nearly as far in the temperate regions of the world. We in the West could learn from the developing countries in the tropics. We need to have these examples on the ground that people can learn from. And you know, it's an uphill struggle to get the first MPA in because no one quite trusts that they'll really do what we say they'll do. But once you start getting a few and people are beginning to benefit, then I think the whole thing should be a runaway success.
Let's hope so. Now, even if we reached that 10% target that we've been talking about, what about the other 90% of the oceans outside protected areas? Is protecting one-tenth of the oceans really going to be enough to keep them healthy?
Well, 10% clearly isn't enough. What we've got to do is think more holistically about the entire ocean surface. In Nagoya, they've kind of agreed to keep the 10% target, but extend the deadline out to 2020, which could sound like a bit of a failure, given that there were some efforts by some countries to actually drop that target completely, or drop it down. One country was talking about dropping it down to only 6%. I think keeping the target is probably a sensible thing to do. We really must remember, though, that that target is a waypoint, not an endpoint. We need to think about the broader ocean space which we use, and really the endpoint must be 100% oceans targeted for sensible joined-up management. That means getting the fisheries agencies, talking to the planning agencies, talking to the conservation folk. And I think from a general public point of view, it means that a much larger constituency needs to really start thinking of the ocean as being theirs. It belongs to us all, and we all really need to be concerned about it and feel a part of it.
Mark Spalding there, giving us the lowdown on where we're at globally with marine protected areas. And at just 1.2% of the oceans, we've clearly got an awfully long way to go. But I think the really good news is that at least we're speeding up in our efforts to protect the oceans. And I think we just have to cross our fingers for this new target.
Yeah, definitely. And I think it's kind of shocking, actually, that temperate areas in areas where they're richer parts of the world are actually lagging behind slightly poorer parts of the world, because it's not just the tropical areas and the coral reefs that need protection. I mean, there are lots of other areas that need protection as well.